Welcome to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by Ambitious Radio. Whether you are a new marketing consultant, national consultant, or someone considering the Ambit opportunity, if you are looking to be motivated, inspired, and uncover what it takes to get to the next level, listening will be well worth the investment of your time. We have weekly engaging conversations with some of today's most influential Ambit leaders as they discuss their successes, failures, tipping points, and other priceless information that you can go apply immediately to your business after listening. Now, here's your host, Doug Parker.
All right, welcome back to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50. And guys, we got another exciting one here. You will recognize his voice as we get going, as he is the host of the Sunday night National Business Builder Call. He is an executive consultant. Help me welcome Bear Gordon. Hey, how are you, Bear?
I'm good. Glad to be here. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. It's great to have you here. It was good to see you at Ambition a few weeks back, and you know, just kind of get to hear a little bit about your story. But with that being said, you know, what we try to always do on Ambitious Radio is do these interviews in a way that's compelling, that we can get good information that people can go out and apply to their lives and apply to their businesses today. And I know you've been in the business for a while. I think maybe Brian McClure actually personally sponsored you, right?
Yes, I was personally sponsored by Brian McClure. We had a relationship prior to Ambit Energy. As a matter of fact, he was my best man at my wedding some 10 years ago. And we used to, you know, hang out and have lunch together. And he told me that Chris Chambliss gave him a call and explained to me who Chris Chambliss was. And he went to visit with Chris, and Chris told him about Ambit Energy. And Brian actually told him no. And said, you know, he thought it was a great idea, but he had just started a multimedia business and wanted to stick with that. And Chris called him again and said, I want you to come up and meet my business partner, Jerry Thompson. And Brian would share these stories with me. And, you know, I knew that many other network marketing companies were trying to recruit Brian. Some of them actually offered him a sign-on bonus, if you will. And he had said no to all of these opportunities. So the fact that he was willing to go meet with Chris and then subsequently went to meet with Jerry, you know, I thought that there was something about it, but Brian told Jerry no as well. And then, as Brian tells the story as well, Chris called him back and said, listen, if you take the organization that you created when you were with Excel Communications, lay it into the Ambit Energy compensation plan, assuming that all of your telemarketing customers from Excel were now electricity customers with Ambit Energy, just give us an idea of what kind of income you would see. And Brian did the calculations and realized that if he had done the same thing in Ambit Energy that he had already done before in Excel Communications, his income would be about $400,000 a month.
Whoa.
And that's when he tells a story. He told his wife, and she pulled him out of retirement.
I don't blame her for doing that. That's quite a significant, you know, income level. And obviously, you know, we never want to mismanage anybody's expectations or anything. But Brian has been extraordinarily successful in you know, over the last 10 years. And you know, he is, from what I understand, I think it's like the fifth highest income person in MLM in like the world or something, and he's our number one income earner. So some of those numbers he plugged in did come to fruition for him and work out. So let's talk about, you know, now were you in any of the other direct sales companies that Brian was involved in before, or were y'all just friends?
Well, actually, that's the way we met. Brian was the CEO of a company called Everyday Wealth. And it was a company that was actually owned by Steve Smith, whom, you know, anyone that was in Excel Communications would remember that name. But it dealt with finances, credit, you know, the accounting process and credit. And it was a great idea. It was a great idea, but there wasn't a lot of money to be made in it. And it worked okay as long, you know, while Brian was the CEO, but for some reason, Brian stepped down as the CEO, and things started to go downhill. But we maintained our relationship beyond that. I met him in Everyday Wealth, but we continued our relationship to, you know, being dear friends today.
Gotcha. So you probably know a guy named Tom Petrone, huh?
Tom Petrone, yes. Tom Petrone is, I think, his lawyer's husband.
Yeah, absolutely. So Tom and I, it's kind of a sidebar, but Tom and I are business partners in a whole nother business. So it's small world.
Yeah, absolutely. And also know Lori and Sheila Ferguson, the sisters, and Sandy Bohannon, of course. And, you know, I knew of Sheila and Lori from a training program that we did before called Landmark Education.
Oh, interesting.
But I had the opportunity to travel with Brian and Lori. We have, there's a story, I'll tell you what, this one pretty quickly. While we were in Everyday Wealth, Lori was working for Brian, and we had the opportunity to go to New Orleans, Louisiana, to work with an organization there, and we were on Steve Smith's plane, and the plane went through a storm. And Lori was very, very afraid and concerned about the storm. Brian and I were not concerned at all, until we hit some turbulence and the plane dropped several feet, and Brian and I both went airborne in the small plane, at which point it was not funny anymore.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, it was wild. It was something.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about your why when you first got started and, you know, what it was then, and then has it changed at all, or has it been pretty consistent throughout the 10 years?
Well, when I first got started, first of all, when Brian told me that he was going to get started with Ambit Energy, I was going to get into it because he was getting into it. You know, I didn't know anything about Chris Chambliss. I didn't know anything about Jerry Thompson, but I knew and believed in Brian McClure. And I felt like with every opportunity that had come his way, for him to say yes to Ambit Energy, this must be something special. And, you know, he called me and said, you know, after knowing that he had said no two or three times, he said, I'm going to do it. I said, I'm in. He said, you sure? I said, absolutely. If you're doing it, I'm with you, which was one of the best decisions I've ever made. And at that time, my why was to, you know, of course, the generic financial freedom, generating an additional income. I'm a professional photographer by trade, and the niche that I'm in inside of photography is events, where I have to go somewhere and set up and shoot, show, sell, print right on location, which means carrying a lot of equipment and, you know, standing on your feet for all hours and then packing everything up after everybody's left. So I look forward to the financial freedom, being able to continue my photography business because I wanted to versus because I had to, and get back to the part that I enjoyed versus that I was required to do. From that point, you know, as the business progresses, you know, some of your whys start to change. You know, you start to think of things even more personal than just financial freedom. And today, my why has really deepened. My fifth grandchild was recently born. My dad and stepmom are both 78 years of age. I'm looking at you know, retirement into the future. And I'm at a place in my photography business where the physical part, carrying the equipment, loading the truck, getting to the event, unloading, setting up, loading it back in, bringing it all back into the home office here, it's not exactly fun anymore. And I'm looking forward to, like, that comfort zone, that financial freedom that enables my wife and I to go and do what we want to do, see some of the sights and travel a little bit, and know that we're financially secure to take care of all of our needs and also contribute to church and to be able to make a difference for the family as well. So yeah, as you progress into the business, you know, your why starts to get stronger. You know, holding on to that fifth grandchild, my fifth one, which was just born about a week or so ago, it was premature, and he's 3 pounds. And, you know, just being able to see him and realize that there may be a need for Grandpa to do this or do that or to financially support this particular necessity or what have you. And just to be able to answer that call has become even more important.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned a couple of things that were financial related, but then, you know, the reality is with little kiddos also is time. You know, one of the things I'd heard some point over the years was, you know, the way kids spell love is T-I-M-E. And, you know, the reality is I've been a hard charging, grinding, you know, working hard my whole life kind of guy. But my kids aren't kids anymore. You know, they're 21 and 19. And, you know, they grow up and your influence is less during that season of their life because they're trying to figure out things on their own. I mean, I just went to lunch today with a young man and was just doing a little mentoring with him, and he was talking about different things. He just graduated from Texas A&M, and he's an engineer, and he's got his whole life in front of him. But we were talking about, you know, when I was younger, I used to think, you know, as long as it's legal and ethical, hey, I'm going to work 40, 50 hours of work somewhere. I don't really care what I'm doing. I just want to make as much money as I can. But as you mature, you realize there are other things you can do when you're trading your time for money, and you can do more than just one thing. And sometimes it's not just about all the money, but it's interesting hearing some of the things that you're saying there. And, you know, at a point in your life where, you know what, you might just want to hold the grandbaby a little bit more and not have to go chase down the next gig, you know, shooting photography or whatever the case may be, where you can be more selective of the jobs that you take. And it's because you have options. And that's one of the things I found with Ambit, is that as the people that I've studied, I've interviewed for this show, the ones that are really, you know, just doing great with it. And it may not be that they're making crazy money, but they're doing great with the opportunity. And that could be, you know, a few $100 a month, a few $1,000 a month, or the sky's the limit, but it gives them more options. That is really what I have seen, you know, the financial freedom piece for people. It just gives them options where they might not want to do something that they had to do in the past. Now they have the option of whether I want to do that now or do I want to do something a little bit different. So that's really cool that you're kind of to that point and that season of your life where you can kind of start making some of those decisions. So let me ask you this. You know, so you've been a consultant for about 10 years, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I'm actually a founding consultant.
Oh, look at you. That's good stuff there. I forgot to mention that in the very beginning, so I should have mentioned that. Well, congrats on that. So give me your kind of elevator pitch, if you will. When you're talking to somebody, I mean, I've met you in person. You're a big personality. You've got a deep, you know, booming voice, and so I'm sure you get people's attention. They say, Bear, what do you do? And then what do you tell them?
Well, I will tell them that I'm a photographer by trade. And I have another project that I'm working on that helps people make a difference for themselves and their families. But when it comes to a specific elevator pitch, honestly, I don't have one because I try not to tell people anything about Ambit Energy prior to inviting them to take a look at the information. You know, I don't have this pre-programmed kind of explanation of what Ambit Energy is all about. When I'm meeting somebody for the first time or I'm looking to talk to them about the business opportunity, my objective is to have a conversation, find a common interest, to create a desire to further the conversation, and to get a name and number that I can call them back later and either continue to grow the relationship or invite them to take a look at the opportunity. If I need to ask them a question or to create interest, you know, there are times when I'll ask, well, let me ask you a question. Are you the kind of person that likes to save money or make money? And when they answer that question, whether they say save or make money, I say, great. I've got a project I'm working on, and I don't have time at the moment, but I'd like to get back with you. You know, can you, if it's a woman, I'll say, do you have an email address? You know, because you don't want to be too aggressive in trying to get a phone number. If it's a man, I'll just say, what's your cell? And even with women, if they do give me the email address first, then I'll say, you know, and do you have a cell? And if they don't want to give me the cell, they'll say, well, just contact me by email, and I'll just go forward from there. But I don't have a particular, you know, detailed explanation of what Ambit Energy is. I'd rather not mention Ambit Energy, energy deregulation, home-based business, business opportunity. My wife and I are excited about something we want to share with you. I try to stay away from all of those buzzwords that would have their mind go to, this is one of those home-based business network marketing deals.
Well, you know what? Yeah, no, you answered the question perfectly there because, frankly, that is how you've been successful is piquing their interest, asking them a few questions, and then you know, not spilling the popcorn, as Lane Winslet would say, you know, out in the lobby, right? So you're either interested in it, and then you follow up with them later, as opposed to doing the invitation and the presentation kind of all collapsed into one thing. And I'm glad you shared that because, you know, and everybody has their own way in of doing it. And, you know, the goal is always for it to be duplicatable, right? So, you know, we want to, you know, do the invitation, the presentation, and the validation. And so that's how our process works and what's duplicatable. Now, I do have kind of a quick question for you. So whenever you do a validation call, do you call Brian for him to do your three-way calls for you?
It depends upon the person. It depends upon the person I'm doing the validation call with. I don't call Brian to do the validation call for the waitress from the restaurant. Okay. If I have an executive or somebody who's business-minded, a business owner, somebody that's at that level, then of course I'll give Brian a call. But I have a group of people that are in the business, like you and I, that, you know, we do three-way calls for one another and for anybody that needs it. So there are, you know, quite an assortment of people that I will call based on who the prospect is. For example, if I have a single mother, then I certainly want a woman on the call, and if I can, I'll try to get a single mom on the call. If I have a musician, then I'd like to get somebody that's into music or at least an artist who can relate to the lifestyle of a musician. If I have a business executive or a salesperson, then I'll try to cater that to a salesperson. If I have somebody that's in the ministry, for example, I'll try to get another minister on the call, like Pastor Kenny Smith or Phil Toller. I'll give him a call, or Ron Jenkins, and get a three-word call there. There's somebody that's related to the ministry.
No, that you know what? That makes perfect sense. And guys, if you're new in the business, you know, that's something that one of the reasons why it makes so much sense to attend Ambition and Simulcast and the business presentations on a weekly basis is because you can build these relationships. And I mentioned, hey, I got to spend a little bit of time with Bear at Ambition. And, you know, you over time, you build these relationships where you get to know people organically and how you can help them, how they can help you. And while Bear and I are not in one another's, you know, downline or upline, now I know he's a photographer. So, you know, that might be a great person if I have someone that's into the photography world, because they can talk about things that I couldn't talk to him about. So you build up your Rolodex, if you will, of experiences with people, and you can utilize those to help you help other people, because the reality is this Ambit opportunity, I mean, it really is a life-changing opportunity. And, you know, again, we talk about some of these huge income earners, and that's great for the ones that are doing that. And hey, the sky's the limit. Anybody can get to that point if they just consistent and persistent enough. But there's a lot of people out there that a few $100 or definitely a few $1,000 a month would really change their life. And it is your responsibility when you're presenting to them to make sure that you get the most qualified person to help, and, you know, potentially expose them to the business and see if it's something that would be a good fit for them. So I love all the great information, Barry, you're sharing with us, because it really makes a huge difference for folks. And hey, even if you've been in the business for a while, I know a lot of people that call the same people pretty much every time for their three-way call, and they're selling them themselves and their potential new consultants coming, their prospective consultants, short by doing that. So let's talk a little bit about your success and you know, maybe one of the personal habits that you think has most contributed to your success.
Well, yeah, I've been in the business 10 years, and I very quickly became a regional consultant, very quickly became a senior consultant. And quite honestly, guys, I got into a rut, if you will, or a stagnation as a senior consultant for a serious period of time. I think the thing that kept me into this business, and one of the best habits, if you will, that I can recommend, is to stay plugged in. You know, I've attended every Ambition. I've attended every Power Trip. I've attended every simulcast. And even when I wasn't aggressively building the business, I stayed connected to it. I've always been connected to our local meeting here in Austin, the Austin and Round Rock, Texas area. And I stayed around the business even when I wasn't having the success that I wanted to have. That aspect of it, being staying plugged in and staying close to the business, constantly keeping it in the forefront, is what kept me in the business when the times get challenging. And if you're going to build a big business, whether it, you know, you can get into this business and you can explode from the start, or you can get in this business and it may take you a while. Either way, at some point in time, you're going to hit a lull. It's just going to happen. You're going to hit a little point of stagnation, and you just have to hang in there. The why is important, to understand why you're building the business, so that you can get past whatever the issue is that has you stuck. I was talking to a consultant today, as a matter of fact, that was a little frustrated. You know, I met with her to meet with a prospect, no show. And she was really frustrated about it. And I said, listen, welcome to building your business. This is what it looks like when you're building your business. There are going to be times when things will flow almost effortlessly. And there are going to be times that no matter how much you do or how awesome you do it, it just doesn't seem to generate the results that you're looking for. But if you stay plugged in, you stay connected to the leadership, you stay connected to the training, you keep yourself around positive-minded people that can support and encourage you, that's what takes you through the process of those days that are a little more challenging than the others. So I think the biggest habit that I can recommend is staying plugged in.
Okay. Now, let's elaborate just a little bit more. So you said you made it to RC real quick. So, like, what does that mean? How quickly do you think it was? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but it was probably within 30 to 45 days, something like that. And you got to keep in mind, in the beginning,
right,
we didn't have all of the tools. We didn't have all of the strategies. You know, we were still creating systems, if you will. I remember, and some of people have mentioned to me that they see me at some of the corporate videos. But I was sitting in the auditorium when Steve Thompson recorded our first Ambit video in front of a green screen. That's how far back it goes. Now we have consultants that have created their own videos that are absolutely phenomenal, absolutely awesome. But I remember back in those days when we didn't have the flip charts, we didn't have the PowerPoint presentations, we didn't have all the videos that we have now and the expert trainers that we have inside of this company. So we had to kind of pioneer what was going on, and some of it was indeed, learn as you go and create as you're making the business happen.
Sure.
You know, Brian McClure himself has generated numerous changes and improvements in how we deliver this information and the strategies that we use to build a business. So in the beginning was a little more of a challenge, but what I did have was enthusiasm. I had passion for it. I was excited about it, and I sold the passion. I sold the enthusiasm. Being excited about it, I was able to have the success from the beginning.
Well, and what I was going to get at there, because, you know, everybody has different ways of looking at stuff, but, you know, you get to regional in 30, 60 days, whatever it was, which at that time, it didn't used to be 5-2-6. It was something more than that. It took like 12 consultants or something, didn't it?
Yes, it did. I don't remember the specific numbers.
Yeah, it was more.
Yeah.
And then you got the senior, but then you were saying you kind of got stuck there. And you know, I too got stuck. So you know, I was a regional consultant real quick, and I mean, now of course my numbers were lower because it didn't require the same thing. But like 5 days to regional, and then I goofed around for a little while, and I think I got to senior, and I don't remember how long it was, maybe 8 or 9 months or whatever. But it was slower than what I felt like I should. And then it took like 2 years to get to executive. And, you know, I felt like, you know, I'd hit some stagnation spots in there. And then I just kind of made my mind up. I was talking to a couple of the, you know, national consultants about some of the things that I wanted to do. And they gave me some advice and this and that. And then I popped off, you know, that I was going to make it to executive by ambition of this year. And then I realized what I had just said. And so I was like, I'm a man of my word. And so I really structurally put some stuff in place, some goals in place. But let's talk a little bit about, because sometimes people can get frustrated and they can get inside their own head and they can give up and not get plugged in and not continue. But you're executive consultant, you've been in business for 10 years, but how long was that window approximately between senior and when you actually hit executive?
Well, let's be really real about it. Okay. I got into this business late September 2006. I think it was in early 2007, I hit senior consultants. I forget the month, but I was a senior consultant in 2007. And I became an executive consultant in 2014. So you're looking at pretty much so a 7-year window of time where I was around the business. I was going to all the events, but I hadn't gotten to the level. Now, frustrated? Absolutely. You know, not only was I frustrated, but in retrospect, I can see how I was frustrating other people. I can see how I was, you know, my lack of success was frustrating to Brian McClure and to some of the other leaders. I have been the host of the national conference call for 8 or 9 years now. And, you know, I remember specifically Ray Monty on the call asking me at the end of one of the calls, Bear, so when are you going to be an executive consultant? On the national call, he's asking me this question. And he did it 2 or 3 times. I remember once Brian McClure, you know, challenged me at one of the power trips as to when I was going to go executive consultant. And I tell you what made the difference for me. I was listening to Pastor Kenny Smith, and, you know, I've heard for years and years and years from Brian McClure, and if you ever get around his trainings, you will hear it too. And he says, it's not my job to make you a success. It's my job to provide you with the tools and the information to make yourself a success. My interpretation of that is, okay, it's not Brian's job to make me successful. And I was clear about that. But then one day I heard Pastor Kenny Smith say, if it is to be, it's up to me. And I interpreted that completely differently. If I'm going to be a success in this business, I've got to do it. Not that somebody else isn't going to do it for me, but I've got to do it. And if that sounds simple to most, you probably got it the first time I said it, but it was like I heard it again for the very first time. And at that point, what I did was I'd already sponsored over 40 people in my senior code, and I was kind of, in retrospect, I can be honest and say, I was kind of waiting for them to have success so that I could promote. And I was willing to do whatever it took to help them be successful. And I looked at my organization at the time and realized I didn't have the organization that was going to get me from point A to point B. And when I heard Pastor Kenny say, if it is to be, it's up to me, I went back to work. I recreated my list. I started following the system. And I started recruiting and sponsoring more people. And I started helping them become successful. And then in May of 2014, I promoted to executive consultant. Really excited about it. Now, if I had to go back and do it again, I would have done it a lot sooner because I have a new understanding of what it takes. But staying plugged in, staying around the leaders, and having people that not only would challenge me, but people that believed in me, that wouldn't give up on me, made all the difference in the world. And that's why now I don't give up on others. I believe in them, but I will definitely challenge others and say, hey, listen, let's get off of it and get on with it.
Mm-hmm. You know, I love that. Last night I tuned into a conference call with Debbie Atkinson. I thought, you know what, I'm going to jump on this call tonight and listen. And I'm not on their team. I just saw it posted somewhere, and I just jumped on there and tuned in. And, you know, it was kind of in that same vein of if it's to be, it's up to me. And she had talked about, hey, if your team ain't doing what they need to be doing, she said, hey, go get another team. Go out and sponsor somebody else and help them grow their business. That's what you got to do. And obviously you want to help all the people that are in your organization that are, you know, doing things. But if you don't like the makeup of your current organization for whatever reason, you know, you can go out and sponsor a new person. Our structure within our organization isn't binary, or you can only have whatever. I mean, hey, you can frontline sponsor as many people as you want to and create a whole new organization for yourself and get out there and make it happen. But I appreciate you sharing that, Bear, because I know that it was, you know, sounds like it was a frustrating time during that time, but it's a story of perseverance, of truly being consistent and persistent. And a lot of times we hear these stories, you know, from people that have been in the business a long time and you know, the things that, you know, you have to do to be successful, but they may not share those kind of dark. It's great that you're an executive now, but they may not, you know, it's not always exposed that, hey, well, you were a senior for 7 years, and some of those conversations, it may have been embarrassing getting asked by Ray Monty on a national call, and you're like, oh, my gosh, you know, but you persevered through it, and then now here you are an executive, second highest level within the whole entire, you know, Ambit organization. And nailing it and have a very successful and growing business. So you know, we talked about some of the things you had to overcome. At what point do you feel like was the tipping point for your career? So, you know, you're going along, and not that you necessarily ever were thinking about giving up, but at what point did that aha moment happen where you're like, you know what, I really think this is going to be able to provide nicely for my family and give me more options?
Well, you know, you talk about, and let me go to this point first. You talk about, like, you know, not that I thought about it, that I would ever give up. I knew that I would never give up. I absolutely knew that I would never give up. But there have been many points of frustration in the process. And, you know, when I was talking to this consultant today, and it was really frustrating, I said, this is what it looks like. You know, senior consultants, executive consultants, certainly national consultants, all of us have that time that we're frustrated, that you know, we want things to go faster. We want things to be better. And we certainly get attached to the people in our organization and their success. We're so passionate about helping others, knowing that the end result would also be that we accomplish our goal, that we pour ourselves into others, and then they aren't as committed to their success as we are to ours. So I just want to encourage everybody who's listening, you're going to have times where you're going to get frustrated. You're going to have times where you're going to be disappointed. You're going to have people that you talk to that won't call you back. You're going to have no-shows. Those things are going to happen. Know that that's a part of the process. And most importantly, that you are growing from that. You know, I've heard many times that this is a personal development program with a compensation plan attached. I can tell you from all the experiences that I've gone through, both good and bad, I'm a different person today than I am even 2 years ago, maybe even last year, because I've grown from those processes. I've learned from the failures. I've learned from the mistakes. I've learned to discipline my disappointments, you know, manage my disappointments, and to move forward from them. I don't take things as personally now as I used to. I used to get, you know, all twisted up about little things. Little things aren't important anymore. I've just got a different attitude about the little things. Brian McClure once said to me, you know, I was fussing. You know, he's my, not only is he my upline, but of course he's my friend. And I was calling him one day, fussing about something. And he interrupted me and said, "Hey, Bear." I said, "Yeah." He goes, "What are the two things we get paid to do?" And I said, "What?" Like, this had nothing to do with what I was talking about. He said, "Yes, it does. What are the two things we get paid to do? You do the presentation, it's in there." And I said, "Gather a handful of customers and help others do the same." And he said, "Exactly. And anything other than that is noise and distraction. Focus on the two things we get paid to do." Now, that's one of the biggest golden nuggets I've ever gotten from Brian McClure. It's the focus on the two things we get paid to do. Now, the point that really made the difference for me, and it's an accumulation, but what really turned it all around was hearing from Pastor Kenny Smith, "If it is to be, it's up to me," and really getting that I'm fully capable of being successful. I had seen all the other leaders in the business and all the other senior consultants that have become executives and national consultants. I knew that I was, you know, I considered them peers. I was fully capable of doing it. The only difference between them and myself is that they did it and I didn't. And that's when I started doing it. I started making a difference. And Brian's success has been very inspirational to me. You know, he has a six-figure weekly income in this business.
Well, hold on a second. What did you just say? Just in case somebody was like driving down the road and not paying attention.
You know, so Brian McClure has a six-figure weekly income in this business. And what inspires me is that he started with his first consultant, me. I was the very first person he sponsored. So, of course, you can give me credit for all of it because I'm the one that started it all. But it inspires me to know that he's a real person. This is my friend. You know, I've been in cars with him. I've shared hotel rooms. We've shared numerous meals together. You know, we eat off of each other's plates. We're buddies. That's my friend. You know, it's more than that. I consider him family, and he the same, okay? And he has had the success. Now, I may not be at the leadership level of Brian McClure or the personal development level of Brian McClure. I haven't read as many books as he's read or anything like that, but he is a man. And as a man myself, I know that even if it's only a percentage of his capabilities, I am capable of success in this business. So I look at him and his success as an inspiration. That if he can do it, even if I can't get up to a six-figure weekly income, I can certainly get up to a six-figure yearly income and eventually a six-figure monthly income. And when I get to that level, I'm sure I'll be satisfied.
Sure. No, and you know, that's it's really great information because a lot of times people, they hear about these top income earners and they think, oh yeah, but they were whatever you want to add in there. But you know, you saw Brian, you saw him come from a different company, and you know, was very successful there, but not, you know, maybe not to this level. And you know, the reality is that anybody can do it. I mean, hey, you start out the race a little bit further behind, you may have to work a little bit harder or do a little bit more to get where they're at, but you can do it. And that's someone that's modeled for you, you know, how it works and how to do it. And so it's really great to hear that, because it's not just some kind of, a mythological creature, you know, out there. Hey, there's unicorns out there somewhere. I mean, this is like Brian McClure is the real deal. And obviously, you know that firsthand. Now, as we kind of start kind of nearing a little bit towards the end of the program here, you know, you mentioned some of the folks that are mentoring you, and I think you bring a very valid point. I love that when I wrote it down. Focus on the two things that we get paid to do. Yes, sir.
And let me make this one point as well, because I think it's really important. You know, it's really easy and exciting to talk about Brian McClure's income in this business. But I tell you what's even more exciting about Brian McClure's income is the tens of thousands of people in Ambit Energy who make a 3 to 4 figure monthly income that makes a difference in their lives. You know, there are many times that we have more months than money. And, you know, I've heard it said many times that an extra $500 a month would keep half of the bankruptcies from happening. You know, just having that little bit more money that just kind of makes the month and the money come together a little bit better. It's really exciting that we have a number one income earner that makes that kind of money. It's exciting that we have several top income earners in our business that do have a six-figure monthly income. And, you know, equally as exciting are the people that make 5 figures a month. But what really excites me to be able to talk to someone new and say that, yes, you can create an additional 3 to 4 figures for yourself and your family, because not everybody wants to be a millionaire. Not everybody wants to become that wealthy. They can't envision themselves getting started in this business, making that kind of money. I certainly couldn't. But I could see myself making an additional 3 to 4 figures a month and then being around this business, seeing the possibility of that 5-figure income. So I just wanted to mention that, you know, every time I mention his income, I want to bring it down to the reality that an extra 3 to 4 figures a month would make a difference for everyone that we're talking to.
Sure. No. You know what? And here's the thing, Baron, and I get exactly where you're coming from. And one thing that I would challenge everyone that's listening to the program today is you brought up a very valid point that not everybody can see themselves making that kind of money. And I would challenge everyone, if that is a struggle for them, on two levels. Number one is, whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right. I think that was maybe it's Henry Ford or someone like that. But the bottom line is that you can do it. And a lot of people, their vision, it for some reason, they just can't see it happening. And they may have been taught, you know, earlier in life that money is bad. They hear that money is the root of all evil. And they, you know, it says that in the Bible. And it doesn't say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So money is just a tool. Depending on what you do to get it, and depending on what you do with it, makes a huge difference. And you've seen Brian up close and personal. I've heard some stories about his level of generosity, and the reality is that you can't, you know, you can't give more than what you have for very long, or eventually you just can't do it. It's not sustainable. So you know, I would encourage you that if you've for some reason or another have heard bad things about money, you know, just look into it and figure out a way, because it, you know, almost everything is a little bit easier. It gives you more options with a little bit more money. And that's why people join Ambit Energy, is that they're trying to make some additional income, an additional resource for their family or whatever the case may be. So it's sometimes you got to look through that and process how do you see it. But if you can't see it happening, it is likely that it will not happen, and there's no reason why it shouldn't happen for you, because as long as you're doing stuff the right way and you're not sacrificing integrity for growth, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to make as much money as Ambit will pay you. So anyway, that's just a little bit of nugget of information there. Now let's kind of continue through the process and talk about maybe one of your most frustrating situations. I mean, everything's been relatively positive. I know you said it was frustrating, that senior to executive trot there, but has there ever been a situation that that just kind of stands out to you? Because not anything negative about Ambit, to point out, just that things are going to happen. Life is going to happen. If you're in this business or any other long enough, something is going to get dealt to you that's going to be tough, and you got to persevere through it. So do you remember anything that stands out?
Well, there are a couple of things that stand out. First of all, and I kind of don't dwell on this anymore, but one of the things that you will find in any industry, in any business or what have you, is that the more that you become the leader, the more that you take the arrows. You know, you can have everyone's best interest at heart and be doing the best that you possibly can to be the leader, to make a difference, to have things work for the greater good. And there's always going to be somebody there that may send an arrow your way, that may be the opposition, the frustration, and can create frustration for you. And the, you know, what I would say to that is you have to stay focused on your goals, your dreams, and what you believe is right, and just keep doing the right thing. You know, there's always going to be somebody to oppose you when you're at that point, and you just have to stay the high road. You just have to hang in there. And, you know, that's actually good news when it happens, because it means you're not just part of the average. If you're stepping out into a leadership role, that's usually when it happens. There's always going to be someone that, you know, may try to discourage you, and you just have to continue on and maintain your focus as opposed to being distracted by the negativity. And then the second thing that's really a challenge for me is that, and this is something I've been accused of. I had a group in a training class with Ambit Energy, and the leader of that training, that little seminar, singled me out and said, "You know what Bear Gordon's problem is? Bear Gordon loves his people too much. You know, and when his people aren't doing anything, he has a hard time walking away from them." And that's absolutely true. Because I want the success of the people on my team as badly as I want my own, and sometimes even more than they want it for themselves. And I had to learn over time that some people are just not willing to do what it takes to have what they say they want. And there will be a time where you may have to say, "Let me know when you're ready, and we'll work on this again." But you have to choose not to waste your time. And they're not taking advantage of that. Pastor Kenny, this is another thing that he says that I think is really valuable. He says, when you can't treat someone as a priority, that treats you as an option. You can't treat someone as a priority. You can't be willing to drop everything and run to help them out when they treat you as an option. And you'll know when that happens, when you call them and they don't call back. You know, they give you some excuse, "Well, I've been busy," or what have you. And you're just completely committed to their success. And, you know, the communication isn't there, the commitment, the effort isn't there. You just can't do that. You know, if somebody is committed, they'll show themselves as such. Those are the ones you work with. Brian always says, work with the people that deserve your time, not the people that need your time. And that can be frustrating to learn and understand, but it makes a difference once you do understand that.
Yeah, those are two both great points, that you cannot make someone a priority when you're only an option for them. And I mean, that's just powerful stuff. So so let me ask you this. So you've got someone that's a new consultant for you, or they've been a consultant for a while on the team, and you know, you're trying to kind of help them get rolling. Do you have any type of personal development? I know you mentioned Landmark, but do you have any kind of books or anything that you recommend or that you like to have folks go through?
When people are first getting started, I try to stick with the system and keep it as simple as possible. You know, the most important thing is to understand their why, to help them make a list, and to teach them how we're going to invite people to look at the opportunity. And those are the three key things in the beginning. You know, the system itself is the why, the list, the invitation, the presentation, the validation, and whatever jargon or however you want to word that, that's basically the system. Okay, is to understand why they're doing this so that you can reinforce to them what they're committed to. I love Debbie Atkinson's way of doing it, where they will say their why, and she'll say, "Now, why is that important to you?" that you'll drill down until you get to that emotional element that really drives the reason that they're in this business. And then you make a list of people that they're going to talk to with that in mind. You know, whether you're working on getting customers or whether you're getting consultants, I love this new shift that we're doing, but you make your list and then teach them how to invite. And remember, when a new person gets in the business, they don't know anything. They can be a seasoned salesperson. They can be an expert in their field. But when it comes to ambient energy, they don't know anything. And when people don't know anything, they tend to not do anything. So even though you may have somebody that has a lot of experience, maybe even in network marketing or in sales or whatever, teach them everything for the first time. If they have experience, you'll only have to teach them once. But don't assume that they know. Teach them what they need to do and be willing to work side by side with them to create that initial success.
People that don't know anything tend not to do anything. That's strong there. So help them get a quick start and get rolling. So let's talk about, you know, what does an average day, you know, look like for you now? How much rest do you get? I mean, what does your average schedule look like nowadays?
Well, it really depends. I'm still working my photography business, and I'm working on another project that is a little time consuming. The blessing that I have is that I get up when I really want to, but that's usually 6:30 in the morning that I'll finally, you know, wake up and, you know, I'll get situated. I try to take a moment of meditation, prayer, if you will, you know, just kind of take a little quiet moment. I'm on several conference calls that I listen in on and some I participate with. So I'll get a few conference calls in, you know, I'll answer a couple of emails, but I try to focus on who am I going to show the plan to today and who on my team I'm going to assist. You know, I've got consultants on my team that will say, listen, I've got a one-on-one setup for tomorrow at 2:00. Are you available? Yes. I've got three-way call set up, and I'm responding to a three-way call request during the course of the day as well. And, of course, the most important thing that I can do is to try to make sure that I'm personally showing the plan 2, 3, 4 times a day. Now, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But I feel like my job, if you will, is to show the plan every day to 2 or 3 people. And if I had a job where I had to go to a 9-to-5, I would get up and get dressed and get situated, make sure there was gas in the car to make sure I was at work on time. I would go to lunch when they say go to lunch, and I would work until they say I get to go home. And I would have that level of commitment to my job. So I try to take that level of commitment to my ambient energy business and focus on the important things to do, gather a handful of customers, help others do the same, which at my level would be showing the plan to 2, 3, 4 people a day and helping my team show the plan and gather customers as well. So that's pretty much what my day looks like. And I don't have a start or finish to my day. I usually I'm more of a night owl, so I will tend to go to sleep, you know, close to midnight or whatever. And, you know, I'm on the computer doing various things in the evenings after hours, listening to trainings, not only from people from Ambient Energy, but, you know, maybe some trainings from other people in the industry or some personal development things. I love listening to books on tape. Right now I'm listening to, Darren Hardy has a book called The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster that's loaded with great information and great insight. I'm really enjoying that audio book, Darren Harding's The Entrepreneur's Roller Coaster. That's really good. But that's kind of what my day looks like. And, of course, you know, I find time here and there to just relax and enjoy and, you know, spend time with my wife and church activities.
Sure. Well, and you know, I'm a listener as well, and we've teamed up with Audible.com. So if you haven't heard Darren Hardy's The Entrepreneur Roller Coaster and you haven't taken advantage of it already, you can go to the website and there's a little banner you can click on. You can get, I think it's 1 or 2 free books for signing up. And so I personally like to listen to them as well because it's tough for me to read and multitask and do all the other things I need to get done, but I can listen and drive at the same time. So I'm like you on that one, Bear. Now, you know, so you've been in the business for like 10 years. Let me ask you this. What do you think, just based upon your experience and the trajectory, what are you envisioning for Ambit over the next 10 years?
Well, it's real interesting. If you look at where Ambit Energy is today, $1.5 billion company, you know, over 1.3 million customers. And the very real belief from our co-founders and from the top leaders in this company that at some point in time, we will be the number one net marketing company, direct selling company in the world. And then you look at that list of the top direct selling companies where you got like the big boy, Amway, is into the $11 billion mark. Then we've got a lot of growing to do. There's a lot of room for opportunity and growth. So I see this as the beginning. Even though we're 10 years in, I see this as the beginning. And as we get to the $6 billion mark, we're going to have so many millionaires and so many successful consultants, many of whom who are in the business now that have pretty much so survived, stayed with it, been consistent in their organizations have grown. And then you're going to have some people who are not even in the business today that are going to come into Ambit Energy and have explosive growth. Guys, I got to tell you something. You know, I believe this business is just getting started. I don't think we've hit critical mass yet. You know, we're the 13th largest direct selling company in the world, and we're only in 16 states of our first country. We haven't even expanded internationally yet, and we're number 13. So imagine the growth that we're going to have when we expand outside of our borders, not to mention expanding into the other states that are available to us in the U.S. And, you know, this is one of those times where you have to realize, even though we've had that level of growth so far, we're still at that ground floor level that if you get started or get started again and you stay persistent and you don't quit, you know, John Morrison says, you don't even need a slice of the pie. You can just take the crumbs that are on the knife when you cut it, and you're going to be successful. Okay? And I think that we're there. We're going to, you know, we're going to look at this as we were just getting started the first 10 years. Ambit Corporate, you know, said at Ambition that they've just invested $20 million just in our IT systems alone to prepare us for where we're going. Now, they wouldn't have done that if they don't have big plans for this company. They say they've spent about $20 million in the first 10 years, and they just recently invested an additional $20 million to prepare us for our future. And I think that's just the immediate future. So I think that this business can be more than you think it could be, more than you could imagine it could be. It's going to be more than that.
Mm. Well, I'll tell you what, I can't think of a better way to wrap up this episode, you know, than with that great just bit of encouragement and a guy that's been there from the very beginning, had some ups and downs, but now is promoted, you know, through the compensation plan and really is legitimately close and friends with our number one income earner. So it's really great information, and Bear, it's been a privilege having you on the program. It's been a privilege meeting you in person, and the level of commitment that you have to the national call, I want to thank you for that. I know, you know, what it takes to put stuff together, and I understand that, you know, you're doing an intro and an exit, but it's every single Sunday night, and it changes the dynamics of your schedule and other stuff to put stuff like that together. So thanks for always being the host and being such a great host on the show.
Thank you for that. It has been more than just a privilege. It's been a pleasure to do that. And I actually look forward to Sunday nights and the national call. And I tell you, another thing that's really fun about that is that as I go to some of these events like Ambition and to Power Trip and to Simulcast, and I meet more and more people, when I hear them introduce themselves on the national call, I can put a face with the voice. And that's a lot of fun for me. But it's been a pleasure, and I certainly enjoy it.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll wrap up this episode unless there's anything else that you've got, anything else you want to share with us before we wrap up.
Well, I've had fun with this. I hope that some of the insights that I've given have made a difference. This is a phenomenal business, and it's a great opportunity. And based on the past, I can tell you that the best time to be in Ambit Energy is right now. You know, the systems are in place. We've gone through all of, you know, the learning curves, and there are a few more, of course, as you continue to grow. But we've gone through so many different learning curves. We've put systems into place. We know the structure. We know what we're doing now. You don't have to get in and reinvent the wheel. You can just get in and go for it and have a lot of success. And I just hope that those of you who are new consultants or consultants that have hit some point of stagnation, take another look at this thing. Take a look at what this business can do for you. Everybody you know uses electricity and natural gas. We're riding the winning horse. Let's take it to the finish line.
Love it, love it, love it. It is great stuff coming from a Pure Energy Award winner, executive consultant, Mr. Bear Gordon. Remember, guys, you can make money or you can make excuses, but you cannot make both. So go out there and be ambitious.
You've been listening to Ambit Energy's Ambitious 50, presented by the Ambitious Radio Network and hosted by serial entrepreneur Doug Parker. Join us weekly as we have engaging conversations with Ambit leaders on topics that can be applied to your business immediately after listening. Like what you've heard? Listen to other interviews at ambitiousradio.com or subscribe on iTunes.